All right, so Pastor Fred asked me to speak about a month ago, and I was all excited because I was going to talk about evangelism, and anybody who was here last week knows that Pastor Fred started a six-week series on evangelism, so kind of had to go back to the drawing board. That was a joke. I'm still going to talk about evangelism. I'm just going to talk about more, you know, what's been going on in my life, and I'll let Pastor Fred talk about the big picture stuff. So, evangelism. What's holding us back? Oh, that guy's on a diving board right there. He's getting ready to jump into water. Took me a minute to figure out what that was. But I wanted to first talk about the story of Moses, Exodus. I've heard the story of Moses like a whole bunch of times. I actually had a little picture book when I was a kid. And it was like, I don't know, it was one of those very innocent little, you know, Moses was a baby. Moses' mom sent him up the river. Moses was rescued by the princess, and the princess asked her daddy, can we keep him? And he was raised by the Pharaoh. That was a very innocent look at Moses, but I'd never actually read the story of Moses before because I had that, you know, picture book, and I had that image of baby Moses smiling going up the river in my head, so I guess I felt like I never really needed to read it. But before Moses went and did all those great things for God, he actually kind of had like a rough past going on. There it is, Exodus 2, 11, 15, if you got your Bibles. Good time to whip them out. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, so I don't know if that matters. All right, so Exodus 11. Many years later, when Moses is grown up, he went out and visited his own people, the Hebrews. Now, at this point, Moses is being raised by the Pharaoh. Like I said, I guess I should give the backstory. The Pharaoh ordered that all the Hebrew babies be murdered, which is kind of harsh. But Moses was actually rescued by his mom because he was sent up the river, and he was saved by the Pharaoh's daughter, which was the Egyptian princess. So Moses kind of has like immunity over this whole thing, of the whole killing of the Hebrews thing. So at this point, Moses is grown. So that's where we're gonna start. Many years later, when Moses grew up, he went out and visited his own people, the Hebrews, and he saw how hard they were forced to work. During his visit, he saw an Egyptian beating up one of his fellow Hebrews. So he saw one of his dad's boys, the Egyptians, beating up one of his kinfolk, which was the Hebrews. And after looking in all directions to make sure no one was watching, Moses killed the Egyptian, and he buried his body in the sand. Moses, the big white-bearded dude, staff-wielding, blue tunic, let my people go. He killed a man before God called him, and everybody saw it. All of his people saw him murder this Egyptian man. I never knew that. I thought he just went up the river and God called him. It says, the next day when Moses went out to visit his people again, he saw two Hebrew men fighting, and he said, why are you beating up each other? And they're like, wait a minute. Well, I should read scripture first. He says, why are you guys fighting? Before I paraphrase. He says, why are you guys fighting? Why are you beating up your friend? Moses said to the one who started the fight, and the man replied, who appointed you to be the prince and judge? Are you going to kill us like you killed that Egyptian man? So these two Hebrews are fighting, and Moses is like, guys, we don't need to fight. And they're like, we just saw you beat up an Egyptian and bury him in the sand. So Moses is already in this place where he's like, you know, he's got his own people questioning his authority. And this is all before God calls him. So you can imagine Moses is kind of in a sticky situation because he's got his own people looking at him like, what are you doing, man? You killed an Egyptian. You're one of them. You know what I mean? Because he was raised by the Pharaoh. So anyway, all this is pointing towards what I'm getting at. I'm going to skip ahead to, where are we at? Chapter 3. And this is the whole burning bush thing. This is the whole Moses in the wilderness, and God calls him. And this is kind of cool, because this is back in the good old days when God revealed himself to people, like physically. I mean, I can't imagine how many times I've prayed to God that he would give me something more than a thought or an idea. And this, he comes to Moses in the form of a miracle, which is the burning bush, which is, it's pretty cool. All right, so here we go, Exodus 3. I'm just going to read from up here. I am the God, your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard the cries and the distress because of the harsh slave driver. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So God's saying, I know what's going on. The Egyptians are beating up my people. I've come down to rescue them from the powers of the Egyptians, to lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is the land filled with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, a bunch of other ites live. It seems irrelevant. The cries of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abused them. Now go, I am sending you to the Pharaoh. You must lead the people out of Egypt. So God's saying, I know what's going on. God gives Moses this big spiel. Picture Moses looking at a burning bush that's burning but not really burning. So it's on fire, but it's not really consuming anything. He's looking at God. And God says, Moses, I have a great plan for your life. You're going to do great things. You're going to take all these people who've been oppressed. You're going to lead them out of Egypt. And Moses is looking at this bush. And the next thing he says, but Moses protested God. Who am I to appear before the Pharaoh? So God lays this whole thing out for Moses. He says, you're going to do this. This is how you're going to do it. I'm going to give you the power. You're going to go. And Moses says, nah, I don't want to. Moses goes on to say, now, don't take me. Take Aaron. He's a better talker than I am, which is his brother. But God says, no. You're going to go, and you're going to do these great things. Now, you can imagine Moses is kind of, like I said before, in a sticky situation because I can't imagine he has too much respect by the Hebrews at this point, because, like I said, they all saw him murder this Egyptian man, so they think he's a punk running around because he can kill people and get away with it because his daddy's the Pharaoh. That's kind of the situation right now. Moses is kind of in between the Hebrews and the Egyptians. He's got his dad's family on this side, the Egyptians, and he's got the Hebrews on this side, which are his people. And God's saying, no, you're going to use your position. You're going to talk to your dad, and you're going to free your people. And Moses is like, nah, not me. But so the point of all this is, what do we think of when we think of Moses and we think of the great leaders of the Bible? We think of these people who are like all powerful. Like I said, the big white beard wielding, like, you are my people, let my people go. But the thing is Moses really, he was a man, just like the rest of us. He murdered a man and everybody saw it, and he didn't have the respect of anybody because of what he did. Moses was in a really hard situation, and God called him, and it took just a little bit of persuasion to get him off his butt and get him to go do what he was supposed to do. But, to me, that just blows my mind, because I've always had this image in my head of the people of the Bible being, like I said, all-powerful and these, saint-like people. They're not. They're human, just like the rest of us. Just like the rest of us. In my personal life, I recently joined a group. I started working with a group called Young Life, which is it's a high school outreach organization. They use high schools as a platform to go out and reach kids and tell them about Jesus. And I started working with them in November. And up until that point, I had been wrestling with the fact of, should I work with them or not? Because when I was in high school, Young Life was a big part of my life. It was very influential for me, but I really wasn't sure if I should go out and lead. I figured, I'll get to that in a second. So I was wrestling with, should I lead? Should I go? Should I do this or not? And I was going back and forth because in my mind, I had it in my head like, okay, well, I want to help. I want to do the right thing. I want to go, and I want to be productive with my life. I want to help these high school kids. But I had it in my head, how can I help these high school kids when I was a punk just like them in high school? How can I tell these kids that they need to, how can I tell these young men that they need to be modest and not boastful when I had the loudest mouth on the lacrosse field? How can I tell these kids not to swear when, when I was in high school, you would have thought I was in the Navy. I was in a really weird position because I'm like, how can I tell these kids to do the right thing when half of them probably have brothers and sisters who knew me in high school and knew that I never did the right thing?